No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Know Your Foe episode. The Ravens, of course, will meet the Jets this weekend, and joining us from Play Like a Jet is Scott Mason. Scott, how you doing?
Hey, Ken, what's going on, man? I imagine you're doing a little bit better than I am because the Ravens are 14-point favorites in this game for a reason. My brother, who is very big in the gambling world, a professional poker player and all that, so He knows a lot of this stuff very well. He joked that if the Jets were to beat the Ravens, it might be the biggest upset of the season to this point. And if you look at it from a point spread standpoint, he's probably right about that.
Well, we're all hoping here that that doesn't happen. I understand we've got a ball game to play here. I did want to talk to you about the Jets season so far. Obviously, the Jets massive deals at the trade deadline, trading Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. Talk a little bit about those trades and kind of the return you think the Jets got on them.
Well, I think with Sauce and Quinnen Williams, both of them, it was a little bit different as to what led up to the deals. I think the Jets didn't necessarily want to trade Quinnen Williams, but they were willing to do it if they got the right offer. And if you look at what the reports were around here, and then even among the national media, it appears that Quinnen Williams had gone to the Jets several times and said, I'm not really interested in re-signing. I've got 2 years left. I'd like you to trade me if you could. He didn't go public with it, which is a credit to Quinnen Williams' character. They kept it under wraps to keep his trade value up. And by all accounts, a bunch of teams called. The Jets told the Patriots and the Bills to pound sand because they didn't want to trade him in the division. But the price that the Jets laid out there, which is about what the Cowboys paid, they had been telling teams, and teams weren't willing to meet that price. And then finally, the Cowboys, who had called and called and called and called, finally were willing to meet the price. And I think realistically, if you're looking at where the Jets are at right now, it makes a lot of sense. I love Quinnen Williams. I was pounding the table hard for the Jets to draft him back in 2019. He's been the best player on the team for the last several years, and I think he's one of the best in the league at his position. He's lived up to the number three overall pick, I think. But if you look at the timelines, and that's really what the NFL is all about, is timelines, it just made a lot of sense for both sides to move on if the Jets were able to get the price that they got. Now, I had said I wouldn't have traded him for a first-round pick because they still have 2 years left on his deal. Even if you want to trade him, there's no rush to do it. But for a first and a second, and getting that provision where that first-round pick has to be the better of the two first-round picks, tremendous value there. And then with Sauce, I don't think the Jets were looking to trade him. They obviously re-signed him in the summer for a reason. They got that done early. He and Garrett Wilson were, it was the first year that they were eligible for their contract extensions. And I think they wanted Sauce to be a key piece here. But I think what happened was the Colts really needed secondary help. So they called the Jets, asked about what it would take to get certain players. And then they threw out the idea of Sauce. And Darren Mooji has said a variation of what we've heard Bill Parcells say back in the day, which is, for the right price, I'll trade you my wife. So he basically told the Colts, look, if you can meet this insane price I'm going to put out here, then we can talk. And the Colts initially weren't willing to do that. But as time wore on, they bent and bent and bent and bent. And finally, they just made the Jets an offer that was too good to refuse. Two firsts and A.D. Mitchell, who clearly has some work to do. We just saw Thursday Night Football, the drops, but we know the amount of talent he has. Look at the fact that he was cooking Christian Gonzalez. He did it a couple of times in that game. He just wasn't able to haul the ball in. Combination of bad hands, bad ability to locate the ball, and then also, of course, Justin Fields not playing well. But to get that kind of package for Sauce Gardner, again, really, really good player, one of the best in the league at his position. But if you look at where the Jets are at and what they need to do and the drastic overhaul they need to make, I just don't think they were in a position to turn down these types of hauls for those two players. So I think they got great value. I hated seeing both guys go, but I totally understood why they did it. Now, as you know, Ken, they've got to cash in on that capital, and that's the trickiest part of all.
Well, the Baltimore Colts in the early 70s got Joe Thomas, who would eventually be the architect of the 49ers teams of the 80s and the Montana era. But he came to the Baltimore Colts, and he traded away a lot of aging players at the end of that franchise's greatness. They won Super Bowl V. They're still in the playoffs in the Super Bowl VI year, end up losing the AFC Championship game at Miami. They traded a whole bunch of players over the next 2 years, acquired Burt Jones, rebuilt a dynasty in the mid-70s, And it really ended up being where it was mildly painful. They went through two bad years in a row, and the Jets may be headed for something like that. But do you think the acquisition of all those first round picks gives them the draft capital they need to compete with the Browns for the top quarterback in the draft, at least?
Yeah, I think if there's a bidding war, they certainly are well positioned. I think most Jets fans are hoping that they don't have to be in a position to have to engage in a bidding war, that you don't want to say you want them to lose or you want them to tank, but preferably you would like it to be where they're in a spot where they don't have to move. So right now, as we know, the two quarterbacks that are getting the most chatter are Fernando Mendoza from Indiana and Ty Simpson from Alabama. We're hearing about Dante Moore as well, but there's a lot of talk that Dante Moore is going to get an enormous NIL payment to stay at Oregon. Remember, he's only 20 years old, so there's no rush for him to leave. Simpson hasn't played a ton, but he's already 23 years old, so there may be some pressure on him. And then with Mendoza, it just feels like a situation where his stock is probably not going to go any higher. What I think you want to be careful of is the Jets need a quarterback, but I guess they're in a little bit of a different position than the Browns in the sense that, assuming Stefanski and Barry stay, they're on their last legs as a regime. So they kind of have to get a quarterback right now for them to have any chance of sticking around. If the Jets, worst case scenario, don't get a quarterback this year, they do have three first round picks the following year. And we say this every year, Ken, oh, next year's draft looks so much better. And then next year's draft comes and you look at it and say, oh, all right, I don't know how good this draft actually looks. But they are in a position where they don't have to force a pick. They don't have to force a massive trade up, especially if it's a situation where there's a quarterback there that they don't really love. I remember Mark Ross, who I love talking to. I have him on the show quite a bit. He was the right-hand man to Jerry Reese in the Giants front office when they won two Super Bowls. He told me the story about how he was in the Eagles front office when they drafted Donovan McNabb, when the entire city was screaming for Ricky Williams. And he told me that was the moment that he realized you got to stand on the power of your own convictions, because if you listen to the fans, if you listen to the media and you just do what they're telling you and you cave to the pressure, you're going to be joining them as a member of the media soon rather than later. Got to trust your own convictions. And that was what he learned there. And he said that many times. So that I think that applies strongly here to Muji and Glenn. If they love, say, Mendoza or Simpson, and let's say they're sitting at the fifth or sixth pick, and you look around and you say those guys are definitely going to go in the top three and you have to make a move, then okay, make whatever move you need to make. You have the ammo. But if you're looking at those two quarterbacks and you're saying to yourself, eh, they're okay. I don't really love them. I don't think they're going to be difference makers. Do I really want to trade a future first and maybe a this year second or third and maybe something else to move up for a guy just because I feel pressure to get a quarterback? Then I don't know that they're going to do that. So I think the thing that's great about it is they do have the flexibility to wait another year if they want. It's not really the ideal situation because you would like to get the quarterback as quickly as you can so you can sort of start the process. You let him develop, all of that. But the Jets do have the flexibility built in to wait another year if they have to, whereas I don't think the Browns do, especially if Stefanski and Barry stay.
Mm-hmm. The Browns are in a house cleaning mode right now, and their roster is built such that they've already borrowed all of next year's money away from those contracts. So they don't have a lot of money still to harvest out of them. And that's going to be very difficult. And Ravens just played the Browns, of course, and the Browns defensive line is massive and formidable. If they had an offense to go with it, they'd have something pretty good.
Yeah. That Miles Garrett guy is pretty good, Ken.
Yeah. He's good. And everybody knows about him, but Malik Collins is one hell of a football player right now. And Mason Graham is the number five pick. And he looked really good in this game. And, they've had a variety of guys, Cameron Thomas and Hall on the outside. So they've looked good. Let's move on to, by the way, Archie Manning. So is he still possibly going to be in the draft next year?
Arch, I doubt it. Listen, you can never say never, but all indications were that the odds of him being in the draft, even if he was great this year, mm-hmm. were very low because mm-hmm. he had only had three starts going into this season. And the one thing that you have to remember is not only is Arch in a fortunate position where he comes from a wealthy family and doesn't have to worry about money, he also is at the University of Texas where he could get insane NIL money. Now, it's not going to be rookie NFL contract, quarterback contract money, but it's still plenty. So he's under no pressure. From what you heard, it sounded like the stars would all have to align. You'd have to have Arch maybe win the national title, win the Heisman, and the team that has the first pick would have to be somewhere where he was super comfortable for him to come out this year. So being that he didn't play all that well this year and had a lot of real struggles, I think the odds of him coming out went from like below 5% to almost 0%. But okay. Look, crazier things have happened, I guess.
All right. Very good. Now, I haven't honestly followed Manning this year enough to know. Let's get back to the Jets offense, though. Justin Fields is at quarterback now for the Jets. What does he bring to the offense? Is there anything exciting about the way he leads the offense?
Well, Ken, I may be breaking news to the audience who hasn't been paying a lot of attention to the Jets. And why would you have been if you're not a Jets fan? But it's going to be Tyrod Taylor in this game. Aaron Glenn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he finally announced yesterday that Tyrod is going to be the quarterback. And look, we don't know how that'll play out over the long haul of the season because Taylor has a penchant for getting injured. So if that happens again, do we see Fields again? Does Brady Cook, the undrafted rookie out of Missouri, get a shot? That's to be determined. But for now, Tyrod is going to be the starter. And Justin Fields, man, he's difficult to watch because you see the flashes of talent and you can see how dominant he is with his legs. And he's got incredible physical gifts. Listen, he has not been accurate at all at the NFL level. Let's say that he's had trouble reading defenses, taken too many sacks. We could go down the list of flaws that he's had, but he has arm talent and he has incredible physical gifts as a runner. So if he could have harnessed that to any moderate degree, things might have gone different. And I think that's the reason the Jets signed him. In fact, I know it is that they looked at him as a guy with upside where he hadn't put it all together yet. But like Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield or a couple of other guys, why not get a bridge quarterback with upside as opposed to one of these veterans that you know what they are? At best, you're going to go 7-10 and that's it. Somebody like Tyrod Taylor, for example. So that's why they did it. But what we've seen is, other than a few games here and there, he played pretty well against Cincinnati. He played very well against the Steelers, for example. It's just been disaster after disaster. And I think the biggest issue with Justin Fields is, and I sort of hit on this a little bit before, he just can't process and he just can't read the defense. And he's late on his throws. And it's tough to watch because I've had numerous people mention this to me, and I'd love to see the Jets try this, especially since Fields still has another year under contract. If they could kind of Cordell Stewart him, where they use him as sort of this multi-purpose weapon, or if you remember Pat White when he was on the Dolphins, yep, guys like that, you know, so that would be something where I think it would be interesting. And as far as what we've seen from him so far, the subpar parts of his game have dominated, and that's why I think the change has come.
Okay, well, amazing. I had not heard about it, and I actually feel kind of bad that I hadn't, but we get sequestered on Monday as a very heavy analysis day here in Baltimore for what's going on. But Tyrod Taylor, in his 15th NFL season, of course, was a Raven originally, and was with the franchise for a number of years. He's now 36 years old, which that shocks me. Yeah, I'll tell you what the other thing that shocks me is, Tyrod Taylor was on the Baltimore Ravens for the 2011 AFC Championship loss at New England. That's how long ago. Lee Evans dropped the football. He was right there. He can tell you about it. He can tell you what the plane ride was like home. Anyway, amazing.
Yeah, he's been around a long time. It goes by quickly. But I'll tell you, the thing with Tyrod Taylor that he offers you that Fields didn't is you should at least have a functional offense, at least somewhat. Look, we know what Tyrod Taylor is. There's a reason why he's bounced around to a million teams. He's your prototypical high-end backup, low-end starter. If he's your backup, assuming he's healthy, you're in pretty solid shape. If he's your starter, you're in trouble. And that's kind of where the Jets are at right now. But I think the main thing here is the Jets have guys where you sort of want to be able to evaluate what they can do, right? So, for example, A.D. Mitchell, who they just got, John Mechie, who they just got, Mason Taylor, Arian Smith, who is a fourth-round rookie out of the University of Georgia. You want to be able to see what they can do with a functional quarterback. And while Tyrod Taylor is certainly nothing special, and we all know what his flaws are, he's another one, doesn't necessarily read the field all that well. He's sort of limited in terms of where he's going to pass the ball, pretty deep ball. So he's got that going for him. He can use his legs a little bit, but it's not like, especially at 36 years old, he can do it the way Fields does. He never was able to be that dynamic with his legs, but at least there's hope for a functional offense. And so even if the Jets are losing games, which I still expect, those guys will have a fighting chance to show you something on tape going into 2026, which is important considering where the Jets are right now.
So Tyrod could be the backup next year. Is Fields under contract for one more year after this?
Yeah, Fields has one more year. It's funny because Rich Simini over at ESPN.com was semi-joking about this, but if the Jets were to move on from Justin Fields after this year, they would have a $22 million dead cap hit with him and a $35 million dead cap hit from Rodgers. So they technically be on the books for $57 million to two quarterbacks not on the roster.
Yes, it's almost as much as what Lamar Jackson is making this year. So
right,
incredible. Yeah, so all right, let's move on. Status of the offensive line, just go across and give me who's playing there and approximately how good they are.
Yeah, so the tackles have been interesting. Olu has been solid. There have been a couple of games where he's looked a little shakier, but I'll tell you, Armon Membu, other than one or two games where he had some troubles, especially drawing some penalties, he's looked tremendous for a rookie right tackle. He's been everything the Jets could have hoped for. And I honestly think that if this wasn't a league where linemen don't get any real consideration for such awards, he should be in the running for offensive rookie of the year. Now, I'm not saying he should win it necessarily because there are some good candidates, but especially in a year where you don't see a quarterback who would be the front runner. Jackson Dart is the only one, and he hasn't played that many games. He's only played a handful of games as a starter so far. So you look around the league and there are other guys that certainly should factor in for the award, but you would think that he would be a top five finisher in a league where offensive line play was adequately accounted for. Joe Tippmann, who was the center that they drafted out of Wisconsin a couple of years ago in the second round, he was moved to guard this year.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
First, it was because of injury. Now I think he's there out of them believing that he is the best option there in the long haul. Now, remember, guard, your old friend John Simpson is here. Yep. He played very well last year. This year, not quite as well. He's been flagged a lot, and it's a lot of the stuff you warned about, actually, Kenny. It's funny, all the stuff you said after last year is like, oh, maybe he's improved, maybe the Jets figured something out. And then this year you're like, oh, all the stuff Ken was talking about is what's happening now with John Simpson. So he may or may not be here next year. Elijah Vera Tucker, very talented player, but he keeps getting hurt. He's missed the entire season this year, and he's gonna be a free agent too. So I suppose what the Jets are probably looking at is those two tackles and then Joe Tippmann at guard. And then they'll probably figure out what they're going to do at one of the guard spots in center. Maybe they draft a guy. Maybe they pony up for your guy, Tyler Linderbaum. There's been talk that maybe the Ravens won't get him signed before free agency and wouldn't franchise tag him. So maybe he's a possibility. I would imagine that if he hits free agency, he'll be a very popular name among a lot of different teams who need offensive line help. So that's really where the Jets are at offensive line wise right now.
I do think, by the way, that it's probably more than 50% likely at this point that Linderbaum hits free agency. I'm of the opinion, if there's a wide gap between the two that they should not try and re-sign him. They should let him walk, let somebody else pay him $20 million and take the comp pick. The Ravens have a bigger need to retain Travis Jones, who's one of the most dominant linemen right now in the NFL. He's our version of Quinnen Williams, if you want to say, but the guy who can play nose tackle or three tech. They moved him over to play three tech next to one of their entire stable of nose tackles they have. Well, it's one of the things you'll notice about the Ravens defensive line now. It's huge and largely immobile, but Travis Jones is the centerpiece of the Ravens' entire pass rush. So they need to get him re-signed, and I think it may mean they lose Linderbaum and then they'll probably franchise Isaiah Likely, who's their third biggest free agent. So big class of free agents for the Ravens will be departing after this year.
Yeah, Isaiah Likely, I would imagine, if he doesn't get franchised, he'll be a hot name too.
Yep.
He's an interesting player. I mean, he hasn't put up massive numbers, but when you watch him, it just feels like he pops on film quite a bit.
Yeah. And Mark Andrews will be available. I mean, I don't know if a team like the Jets would want a seasoned leader like that, but I think he'd be some team will want him, and maybe he'll end up in San Diego, where a lot of the old Ravens end up. But the Jets obviously have their ties with the Ravens too, and they have, you know, they believe, it seems like, in a lot of the Ravens personnel decisions, and they've picked up a lot of ex-Ravens.
Yeah, not a bad team to poach from. The Ravens have been pretty successful.
All right, well, we appreciate that. Status of Garrett Wilson for the game, is he still hurt?
Yeah, he went on IR, so he's going to be out for a while. I think at least 3 to 4 weeks. I don't know if you saw this, Ken. It was kind of funny. So last week, Rich Simini over at ESPN.com reported that Garrett Wilson was going to be missing 3 to 4 weeks. And the next day at Aaron Glenn's presser, and this became a whole thing on social media, and people were talking about it on TV and radio and in print and all that. One of the reporters, and I don't remember who it was initially, asked Aaron Glenn what the status of Garrett Wilson was. And Aaron Glenn's response was, ask Rich Simini. He has all the info on injuries. And Dennis Wozniak from the Associated Press followed up by saying, well, Rich isn't here. We need to hear it from you, AG. And he said, no, you need to ask Rich. And anytime somebody brought it up, he said, ask Rich. Rich is the guy to go to. He knows all the injury info. And then, of course, the next day they did say that Garrett Wilson is going on IR. He's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. And to Rich Simini's credit, and I knew this was going to be the case, he has a mailbag segment that on his podcast, and he said he is now renaming that segment Ask Rich. So he's having some
That's good. That's really good.
Garrett Wilson won't be a problem for the Ravens this week. He's not going to play. In fact, there's talk he may shut down for the year. And at this point, if you're the Jets, what's even the point? Just make sure you take it easy with him. He's obviously the crown jewel. Don't run him out there and risk him getting hurt in a meaningless game at the end of December.
There you go. All right. Update on John Simpson, maybe. Let's talk about him for a little bit. You already mentioned he's not playing that well this year. He's gotten flagged a lot. You did already say. Morgan Moses, they let him go on. It looks like he's actually playing pretty well for the Patriots.
Yeah, so what happened with Morgan Moses is the Jets wanted to keep him, but the Patriots just offered him a better deal. They gave him more money. They offered him more years, and I think it was a situation with the Patriots where, and look, they were right. They looked at it and said, we have this young quarterback who he hasn't broken out yet, but as a rookie, we saw him flash enough that we believe that he's going to be the guy. This is the rookie quarterback contract window. So if we have to pay a little extra for some of these guys to protect him and some of these guys to help elevate him, we will do that. And we've seen the results for the Patriots. And people can talk all they want to about the Patriots having an easy schedule. And they do. Sure. No question. But there's no denying how good Drake May has played. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year. Right now, I believe he's second in the betting odds for MVP after only Matthew Stafford. So that tells you something. And look, no matter how easy the schedule is, you're still going to run up against a fair amount of pretty good defenses. May has played, I think, 3 or 4 top 10 defenses, and we've seen the results. So I think that's what it was with Morgan Moses. And the Jets did want to retain him. The Patriots just ripped him away. And I guess in the end, it sort of worked out for both teams because the Patriots got themselves a pretty good lineman. And then, yeah, like you said, Armon Membu ended up being the 7th pick.
Yeah. So is that, I was just going to say, I thought that was probably a good result for the Jets. Let's move over to the defense here. Tell us about a question I always like to start with is, what do the Jets like to play on obvious passing situations in third down? Do they go to a dime? Are they still a committed nickel? What do they play and how do they line up?
So they run out of a base 4-3. And then a lot of times, I mean, it depends. Like with the Ravens, it's interesting because if they go to two tight ends, you'll probably see a big nickel package. But what's sort of interesting now with what's going on with the Jets secondary is there have been injuries. So Andre Sisco, for example, the safety who came over from the Jaguars, he got hurt. So Tony Adams, who had been much maligned, he had to come in and take back over. It was funny because last year with all the stories with Woody Johnson, one of the things that was revealed or at least reported, we don't know for 100% fact that's true, is that Woody Johnson demanded that Tony Adams be benched of all people to have a marginal safety that's who your owner is yelling about benching. But he had to come back in when Sisco got hurt. And then Jarvis Brownlee came over in a trade from the Titans. They got him for next to nothing. He was playing great football in the slot when he first came over. Michael Carter II became expendable and they traded him over to Philadelphia. And then the Jets made that trade with Sauce Gardner and Azaria Thomas, the third round rookie out of Florida State, came in and he was looking pretty good, but then he got hurt in the Jets last home game against the Cleveland Browns. And so they had to move Jarvis Brownlee back outside and he didn't look nearly as impressive on the outside as he had in the slot. So that kind of becomes an interesting factor as far as what the Jets do. Do they continue to roll with Brownlee on the outside where he hasn't been as effective, move him back inside and try somebody else on the outside until Azaria Thomas comes back? Then, you know, we can obviously talk about the former Raven Brandon Stevens, but I think when the Ravens line up with those two tight ends with Andrews and Isaiah Likely, you're probably going to see a big nickel. And now based on all the shifting parts, I'm curious to see if they make any changes to that.
Okay. All right. So that'll be interesting to see. You talk about Brandon Stevens. Tell us what kind of year he's having.
You know, it's interesting, Ken. You and I talked about Brandon Stevens when the Jets signed him. And what you told me, I thought really sort of bore out early. You said, look, he will provide you tight coverage. The problem is the guy can't locate the ball and he can't get his head around. And so guys go to the back shoulder and that's how you beat him. And that's how he got beaten like a drum. And that was more or less what was going on. But then after the first couple of weeks, he really started to turn it around and play a lot better. This past week, he had a lot of trouble, though, in the Jets' loss to the Patriots. He did have one really nice play when I believe it was Mac Hollins, or as I like to call him, Mac the Knife. It was a pass from Drake May right in the breadbasket. And even though Stevens got beat, he was able to recover quickly enough to swat the ball out before it was a completion. So he's been, in addition to that, a really effective tackler, played very well in run support. So what I'd say is he certainly isn't, he's not going to replace Sauce Gardner as far as being some sort of shutdown corner, but he's been a lot more effective at the cornerback position than I think most of us thought that he would be based on all the stuff that you pointed out when you and I talked, the stuff that was on his tape with the Ravens. He's shown flashes of what it is that the Jets thought they could turn him into. The question will be, can he keep that up consistently? Because like I said, he reverted back a little bit in that past game, this past week's game against the Patriots.
Okay, so he's at 6.3 yards per target this year. Last year with the Ravens, 8.7. So that is a massive, massive improvement. In terms of what he is, it looks like, well, he's given up some touchdowns and no interceptions this year, but that's still yards per target is the statistic I want if I've only got one for a corner, and he's been terrific.
Yeah, without a doubt.
All right. Who else has stepped up since the recent departures of Williams and Gardner?
So Juwan Briggs has been interesting. The Jets got him from the Bears for one of those late round pick swaps right before the season started. And look, I'm not trying to sit here and tell you he's Quinton Williams. He's not anywhere close to Quinton Williams. Most guys aren't. But he had played pretty well next to Quinton Williams, and I think he's continued to look pretty good. One thing that's interesting about the Jets is that they were having trouble consistently getting to the quarterback. Will McDonald leads the team in sacks. He's got 7 on the season. But if you look at it, he's got all 7 over the course of 2 games. So he had one game with four sacks. That was the game against the Cleveland Browns. And then he had one game with three sacks, and that was the first game of the season against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's really funny with him how all his sacks seem to come in bunches. Jermaine Johnson opened a lot of other of things up for everybody else when he came back from his injury. But the thing with Jermaine Johnson is he's a very good all-around football player. He's excellent in run support. He's a solid pass rusher. He's high effort, high motor, all of that. But he's not that home run hitter as a pass rusher. He's just a solid, good pass rusher, but nothing special. And so what you see is in these games where McDonald isn't getting a ton of heat, the Jets struggle to get to the quarterback. And obviously a lot of it is contingent upon how well the opposing offensive line does. So with Quinton Williams not there and with Sauce not back there to sort of hold it down if the Jets can't get to the quarterback in, you know, a couple of seconds quickly, it makes it a lot tougher. But one of the guys I would look for, you know, obviously everybody knows about Johnson and McDonald, but one of the guys I would be looking for is Juwan Briggs. And then I think Quincy Williams is always a wild card too. He's an inside linebacker, but he's quick and explosive. And there are times where he can just come out of nowhere and get you a sack. I think he has 2 or 2.5 sacks on the season. I think he's either second or third on the team, which is good for him, but not so great for what you would say about the Jets pass rush overall. But those are the guys I would probably watch for the most is the two edge rushers. McDonald, look, he's feast or famine. Like we said, Jermaine Johnson is a high effort guy that can get in there. Briggs is, you know, doesn't have a lot of sacks, but I think he's got 2, 2.5. So he's somebody worth watching. And then Quincy Williams, who's not your traditional type of pass rusher, but because of the nature of the player he is, he can sometimes get in there.
All right. I'll let you finish it up this way. I like to ask for one player on either side of the ball who you think matches up well against what the Ravens present. Who would that be on offense and defense?
That's interesting. So I suppose on defense, it would probably be Quincy Williams because I think his aggression and explosion would be helpful not only in attempting to limit the damage that Lamar Jackson can do when he gets outside of the pocket, but also maybe in helping to cover those two tight ends that the Ravens have that could present a big problem for them. On the offensive side of the ball, I'm going to give you an interesting name here because a lot of times people would expect me to go with a skill player. I'm going to say Membu. I think Armon Membu is a guy that could really do a nice job helping to neutralize the Ravens getting the maximum amount of heat that they can on Tyrod Taylor. I will tell you this. We just saw what Myles Garrett has done in the last couple of games, but the one game where he wasn't an absolute monster was against the Jets in the rookie tackles. He had one sack, and it's funny because you would think, oh, one sack. Oh, well, if you have one sack a game for 17 games, that's 17 sacks. But with the way Myles Garrett is playing, one sack, especially against a rookie tackle like Membu and a second-year guy like Olu, that's somewhat of an accomplishment. So that's the name I'd give you on offense. I'll go with Armon Membu, and then I would say Quincy Williams on defense.
All right. Very good. Outstanding stuff. Scott, tell folks where they can talk football with you online or find your stuff.
Sure. So, Ken, first of all, thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure. I always love talking to you. You can find me at playlikeajet.com. You can find me on Twitter at playlikeajet1. You can find the podcast anywhere where you download podcasts. Believe it or not, 365 days a year, there will be a brand new podcast up. No days missed, even on Christmas.
One of the Iron Men in the business.
I guess I'm the Cal Ripken of NFL podcasting. But yeah, there's a new one every day, 365 days a year, except on leap years, and there'd be 366. And the YouTube channel, youtube.com/playlikeajet. We've got a variety of different videos up there that are fun to watch. And they're usually not super long. You're usually looking at 5 to 15 minute videos. So they're easy to digest and they're not going to take you 2-3 hours to get through. So that's where you can find all of the stuff that I'm putting out there. And Ken, like I said, really appreciate you having me on. And I hope this is an entertaining game on Sunday. Look, I expect the Ravens to win, but if the Jets can at least keep it somewhat competitive for most of the game, and even if they could just cover the spread, that would be nice. I would like to see that. That way, the Ravens get the win, people watching feel like they got their money's worth, and the Jets maybe move up a little bit in the draft order, and that way they don't have to give up a first round pick to get a quarterback.
There you go, Scott. I'm rooting for you in that respect, certainly, and the Jets improving their draft status. I always recommend people listen to the show. Scott's terrific, as you can hear from this brief interaction here. He's outstanding. But whenever I've told Jets fans about it, they already know about your show. So I don't feel like I've gotten you any new listeners in my time talking about that. But we met somebody in Safari, and he already knew about your show. You meet him in Kenya, and he already knew about your show. And he's a British guy. I mean, he's a Wrexham fan who goes to the games, and he already knew. So anyway,
that's awesome. I love hearing that. And I'll tell you what, even if I don't get any new listeners or viewers from coming on the show, it's still worth it just to hang out with you for a little bit, Ken. I always love our discussions.
I appreciate that, Scott. And we're going to do a reciprocal episode. Hope you can take a listen on that, because I'll be talking about the Ravens on Play Like a Jet. Scott, thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure, Ken.
I will talk to you next time on Film Study.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.